Well, good morning. You can be seated. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be older. Well, it is. You have a history in the kingdom of God. You get to know people and you have a history with them, a long history with them. And my wife Peggy's with me here this morning. And 27 years ago, I met Pastor Ron and Chris. And since then, we've been connected in some way throughout those 27 years to a greater extent or smaller extent. And we, both of us, Pastor Ron and Chris and Peggy and I, have a mutual friend named Dennis Heber. I'm sure you know Dennis Heber. And yes, that's right. And I don't have all the colors. I don't have any green shoes on this morning or red shoes like Dennis. But Dennis is a unique individual who Pastor Ron and I love very much. So it's the reason I say that is because now I have a heritage. When I was in my 30s and 40s, I used to think, man, these guys get up, they're older than me, and they tell stories, and I'm going, I don't have any stories to tell. Now I find myself at 70 years old with a lot of stories to tell, and that's good. It's good. And so I'm just grateful to be here this morning, grateful to have my wife here, and I'm going to share some things with you about communion that really came to me this last week. The church where I'm attending, I'm actually not pastoring City Bible Church anymore. I retired from that in 2019, and a couple years later, went on staff with Cathedral Life in Canton, Ohio. And the Lord called me there to come alongside the senior pastor and help him, and it's been a blessing. Yesterday, I had 30 guys that I spoke to at a men's meeting, and it was a huge blessing for me. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is the significance and power of communion or covenant. And I've known some things about communion, but over the last few years, especially this last Good Friday, at our church, we opened the church up from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. And people just come into the sanctuary, and there was four different tables. I had one table, and there was other ministers up front, and they come in for communion. Now, there's music playing in the background, but there's no musicians. There's no per se program. And I served communion for probably 2 hours. And I took communion with everyone that came up. So I was well sanctified when it was over. But what I realized was taking communion together, there was an incredible presence of God. And after we took communion, I asked each one of them what did they have in prayer needs, and we would pray over their needs. There was a lady that came up, her hand, she was in immense pain in her hand, and her hand wasn't working. And I said, well, let's just pray for that hand right now. And we prayed for that hand, and I told her, move your hand. And I said, your hand's to be lifted unto Christ, so lift your hand up. And she said, the pain's gone. She said, it's gone. There was two other gentlemen came back, and the one gentleman said, I have pain in my back. I've had incredible pain in my back. And I said, just right now, and we prayed. I said, now move your back. Move around. He goes, I don't have any pain. And there was a couple other people that came up who had family issues. It was Easter. And they were meeting with family, and they said, there's going to be somebody there in our family that we're really, really disturbed about. We wonder how it's going to work seeing them, and would you pray? Another lady came up, pray for her daughter, and both those people called me later and said that prayer was answered the next day. And I thought, God, what happens? What's going on? And I realized there was something about communion. When I say communion, I'm talking about covenant that Jesus established for us, that there's power in that. And I wish somebody would have taught me this earlier in my life. I knew some things about communion. When I was a young boy, I'd sit in service and I was involved in the United Church of Christ. Nancy, you were talking about the United Church of Christ. I went through their class and learned a communion, but I was a young man. I wasn't saved. I'd listen to it. And then I'd sit and see people take communion, and some people I would see, they'd get tears in their eyes while they took communion. And other people just took it. And I thought, what's the significance of that? What's going on in their lives when they're taking communion? So this morning, I really want to dig in, and I want to talk about the significance and the power of communion, this covenant that Jesus established with his disciples. And there's power in this. And in a day we're living in, we need power. We need an understanding of what that covenant is. A young man told me yesterday, he said, I'm really disturbed by what's happening in America. How do we deal with the crisis? I said, well, on Resurrection Sunday, the Lord spoke to me and he says, I'm looking for resurrection people. I said, no matter what's happening in the world, the kingdom of God still marches on. Jesus is king. He always has been. He always will be. And like we sang this morning, he's coming back. So let's pray here this morning before we deliver the word. Father, I just thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your name this morning. Your name has power. I thank you for the people here this morning that you know every heart. You know every need. You know those that are struggling. You know those that are dealing with family problems. You know the people that are dealing with sickness in their body. But you're the God who redeems. You're the God that restores. You're the God that heals. You're the God that delivers. Everywhere you went, Lord, you brought your kingdom, and everyone was touched and restored to the original intent that your Father had. So, Jesus, we thank you for the joy that you had in going to the cross for us, knowing that many would enter into the kingdom of God. And when you went back to heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit. And Spirit of God, we just welcome you in this place this morning. Your tangible presence, manifest yourself. Let your presence flow over each one of us as we hear the word of God this morning. We haven't come just out of tradition. We haven't come because we have to. We came because we wanted to this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives this morning as we partake of your word. It's like sitting at a table when someone has made a great meal for us and we just enjoy the meal. And sometimes while we go, is that good? So I thank you this morning as we partake of your word, that it brings nourishment to us spiritually and illumination to us and deliverance and healing in every area of our lives. We give you thanks this morning. We pray for Pastor Ron right now. We just pray health and healing over his body in the name of Jesus. We thank you for his faithfulness over the years to you. And we thank you that through your covenant, you provide healing and wholeness and soundness. And I pray that over my friend, Pastor Ron, I pray for strength for Chris this morning. And thank you, God, even though they're not here, they're here because their hearts are here because he's the shepherd of this church, local church. So we bless them this morning. And thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Do I have to push the button here to start my PowerPoint? Am I right? Somebody shake their head in the back. All right. Hey, it worked. It's always fun going into different churches and different pastors have different ways of doing things. So Ron sent me a little picture last night, and he goes, at 3 o'clock, just push that little button, and it'll advance your PowerPoint. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your phone, Bible on your phone, always encourage people, bring the Word of God to church with you. Bring it with you. This is life. I don't put all my scriptures on PowerPoints because I want people to look them up. Sometimes we've accommodated people so much they don't even know where the books of the Bible are at in their Bible. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians verse 23, and I'm going to read through 25. And this is Paul speaking. This is what he says in verse 23. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I want to talk about the 9 components of establishing a covenant. Some of these I knew, some I didn't. I've just been studying this. There's a great Bible teacher named Rick Renner. Many of you heard about Rick Renner? He has a series right now on communion, and I've been going through it, and I'm learning so much. So a lot of what I'm sharing with you is from Rick Renner's teaching. I'm sharing some other things that the Lord showed me, but I want to give credit where credit is due. So I want to look at the nine components of establishing a covenant. Nine components of establishing a covenant. In the Old Testament, centuries ago, in the New Testament, people would establish covenants. And there was reasons why they established covenants. And the first reason is a covenant promises. Whenever someone established a covenant, there was promises. The purpose of establishing a covenant was relationship, trust, protection, and love. Relationship, trust, protection, and love. I want to go to 2 Peter, if you turn with me to 2 Peter 1. And I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Yeah, and I'm at 1 Peter. That's not going to work. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'll start at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. As his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Jesus Christ has given us promises. He's given us his divine nature. We've come into covenant with him, and we have promises in the Word of God that we can adhere to. But we have to read the Word of God to find out what the promises are. This is the covenant. This is the New Testament. We need to know what it says. Many people today don't know what it says. How can you benefit from it unless you know what the promises are? So in a covenant, there was promises made. And how many of you know that when you get married, there's promises that are made. There's vows that are made when you get married. Same kind of concept, same understanding. The second part of one of the nine covenant or components is a bloody sacrifice. A bloody sacrifice. And I'm going to turn to Hebrews 9. I'm going to take you through the Bible this morning. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood. Now listen to this. Jesus, who created all things, he was the Word made flesh, holds everything by the power of his word in place, shed his own blood. But with his own blood he entered the holy, most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption with his own blood. 12:24, Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkled that speaks better things than that of Abel. Jesus came to establish a better covenant than the old covenant. Jesus said, I haven't come the way to do away with the law, but fulfill the law. How can he fulfill the law? Because when we come into covenant with Jesus Christ, his spirit dwells on the inside of us, and now we have a divine nature, a new nature. The corrupt nature has been done away with. We're separated from it because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that new nature desires to please God. So many people are involved in religion today. Religion is the means of trying to please God to get close to him. Through the covenant of Jesus Christ, I don't have to do things to please God. I already please God because he took my sin upon him and I took his nature into my life. That new nature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. all things have become new. Think about that for a moment. His own blood, Jesus without sin, shed his own blood for us. The third component is a bloody path. When Abraham, God broke a covenant or established a covenant for Abraham, he took an animal, cut it in half, and the blood poured out in a path between the two parts. And in Genesis, you can read it later that God actually put Abraham to kind of sleep, kind of paralyzed him, because Abraham wasn't a perfect man. So he thought, God just said, I'm going to freeze him right here, and I'm going to break the covenant. I'm going to walk that bloody path. And I'm going to establish a covenant. And Abraham did establish a covenant himself through circumcision, through the shedding of blood with God, when God required it. There was a bloody path. When Jesus gave his life, the soldiers beat him, spit upon him, ridiculed him, whipped him. 39 stripes are put upon his back. If many of you have ever seen The Passion, I don't even believe that does justice. And I personally believe that every sickness and disease known to man was put on Jesus. That's why it says he was unrecognizable. And he carried his own cross. The cross that you and I should have been carrying. I believe he was covered in blood. Every step of the way, it was a bloody path to the cross. And there was witnesses that saw that, that testified that Jesus was bleeding for us. He was dying for us. When he was hanging upon the cross, the one soldier put a spear through his side and blood and water flowed out. To me, that's representative of Jesus' heart being broken for the whole world. And when he said it was finished, it was finished. It was finished. The fourth component is blessings and cursings. Blessings and cursings. Ephesians 1, let's turn to Ephesians 1 if you would with me. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10. I love this passage here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Woo! Isn't that good news? Not only that, but Jesus is in heaven right now. His ministry is interceding for us. If I ever want anybody praying for me, it's Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. He chose us before the foundations of the world. We didn't choose him. He chose us. That blows my mind. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us acceptable in the beloved. I told you about that meal. Remember I told you when I preach the Word of God and when I hear the Word of God, I go, You ever put something in your mouth and go, I'm telling you, this is better than chocolate. It's better than any food you've ever ate. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in this dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. In him. So blessings and cursings. That's why communion is very important. We're going to take communion today. And it talks about taking communion in an unworthy way. I don't know if you know this or not, that Judas took communion with Jesus. It says on the same night in which he was betrayed. Who was going to betray Jesus? Judas was. Judas has made a covenant with the high priest. He had made a covenant with the high priest to turn Jesus over for coins of silver. Yet he sat in Jesus' presence when Jesus was establishing the new covenant and brought a curse upon himself. As believers in Christ, we have to be very careful that we're not eating from the table of the devils or the table of the Lord. That's why it says, examine yourselves and see if you're worthy. It says, many are sick among you and even die. See, the seriousness of this covenant, it's Jesus' blood. It was his body, his blood that was given for you. The seriousness of this. Number five. The mingling of blood. There's life in the blood. It's interesting to me, when I'm in the hospitals and a lot of times people are having issues, they'll tell you to move, exercise. You know why they tell you to exercise and move around? It circulates your blood. There's life in the blood. So the more you exercise, the more you move, blood moves throughout your body and it brings life to every part of your body. Through his blood, we have become legal brethren. Legal brethren. Let me tell you something. It's amazing to me. I have a family. But I have brethren in Christ that are closer than my family. That's supernatural brothers and sisters in Christ. The mingling of blood. And centuries ago, people would break covenant with people and they would take wine or they would take a drink and they would put a drop of their blood in the drink. And when you drank that, you became one with them and they became one with you. We almost went through a spiritual transfusion with Jesus. His blood now runs through my veins. Leviticus 17:11 says there's life in the blood, a mingling of blood. I'm sure you've heard where there's sometimes in different cultures they'll cut their wrists and hold their wrists together and it mingles blood. And they call themselves brothers now. They come into a covenant relationship. So this is how they broke covenant in times of past. We don't understand covenant today to the degree that past generations have. We don't understand that. Number six, the changing of names. I love this. He has given us his name. You know, in marriage, when you get married, the spouse takes on the name of her husband, last name of her husband. In our culture today, they kind of corrupt that up now. But he has given us his name. John 14, 12 and 13. I'm going to go there and read that to you. John 14, 12 and 13. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works shall these do, because I go to my Father. How can we do that anyhow? How can we do greater works? Because of the covenant Jesus made with us. That's how. But listen, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I can use the name of Jesus and ask the Father, and he will grant me that because he's given me the authority of his name because I'm his brother. There's power in that. You know, people use the name of Jesus, and I wonder, do they understand the covenant, the real basis of how we can use that name? Because Jesus established a covenant, a supernatural covenant, that we are as ambassadors on earth. An ambassador is someone who represents a king or a prime minister, and he only speaks what the king and the prime minister says. If he speaks his own opinion, he's removed from being an ambassador. And an ambassador has diplomatic immunity. Oh my. We are ambassadors of Christ. We have power to use his name and to speak on his behalf, what he says. In his name, we can cast out devils. We can speak with new tongues. It says in his name, we can lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Why? By my good works? By my effort? No, because Jesus has established a covenant with me. I'm his son. I'm his brother. And when I speak under his authority, and the kingdom of darkness has to move. That's in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand the depth of this covenant. It should bring us to tears. I was in Jerusalem in 1997, and I was in the upper room where Jesus was the Lord's Supper. Think about that, the Lord's Supper. And those disciples were invited to that supper. But what they didn't realize, he was the Lamb of God. He was the final sacrifice. And like Paul said, this is my body broken for you. This cup is the New Testament, new covenant in my blood. The seventh component is the exchange of gifts. I love this. 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4. I'm actually writing a book right now on the lost art of friendship. And David and Jonathan were best of friends in 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4. This is what it says. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Because he loved him as his own soul. Think about that for a minute. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ as our own soul? Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples by the love you have for one another. Covenant. Covenant. And Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. The robe speaks of identity and authority. When Jonathan gave David his robe, he gave him his identity and his authority. Isn't that what Jesus did for us in the covenant? He gave us identity in him and authority to speak on his behalf. Jonathan gave David weapons. What does that speak of? Power and protection. When Jesus established a covenant with us, it gave us power and protection. He gave him his belt. Jonathan gave his belt to David. That speaks of wealth. This is what it means. All that I have is yours. All that I have, David, is yours. Isn't that what Jesus does with us? If we could get a revelation of that, not just here, but it would drop down into here that we understood it with our hearts, we would walk in authority. We would walk in divine protection and strength. We would understand who we really are in Christ. Exchange of gifts. What did Jesus get in exchange? He took our sin upon him. He took our sin upon him. Everything that was corrupt, everything that turned God's face away from us, Jesus took on himself. In fact, at one point when all the sin of the world came upon Jesus, for the first time in Jesus' life, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father had to turn his face because all the sin of the whole world fell upon Jesus. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. We should be people of great praise, great adoration, great service. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Paul was willing to lay down his life for Christ. Somebody had just asked me recently, a guy said, Pastor Barry, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, would you be martyred for Christ? I said, I can't answer that question. He said, why? I said, first of all, if it ever came to a time where I had to be martyred for Christ, I could not do that in my own strength. It would have to be a gift of grace to come upon me to be martyred for Christ. When that time come, I'd know what I needed to do. And Christ would be there with me. Number 8, covenant meal, communion. There was bread and wine. The bread represented the flesh of Jesus Christ, his body, the wine, his blood. Through his blood, all of his resources and possessions are ours at our disposal. All of heaven, all the resources are ours because of the body of Jesus Christ. Everything we need in life, everything that Christ has called us to in the Great Commission, he has resourced all of his possessions, all of his resources for us, his sons and daughters. That same upper room where he served them communion was the same place where the power of God fell and the Holy Spirit baptized him in the Holy Spirit. Our sister was reading this morning that on the Mount of Olives, Jesus is there. This is an incredible sight. I often think about this. I hope there's videos in heaven, but when I get there, it probably won't make any difference. 500 people see Jesus on the Mount of Olives. 500. Jesus ascends into heaven. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus ascends into heaven, and I could just see people going, and he's gone. And they're still standing there. I probably would have been too. And two angels appear and say, what are you doing here? Well, what do you mean? Do what he said. Go into Jerusalem till you be endued with power. How many were in the upper room when the power of God fell? Tell me. Somebody tell me. 120. 120 were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. How many were on the Mount of Olives? 500. I've often wondered, where'd the 380 go? Were they busy? Did they have stuff to do? Sometimes we miss God because we have so many things to do. Covenant meal. So through the broken body of Christ, he gave us all his resources, all his possessions. And deposits, there's a deposit of that that we can draw from anytime we need it. And he guaranteed this by shedding his own blood. He said, I guarantee this by shedding my own blood. So he put his stamp on it and guaranteed that all the resources are ours for whatever we need. You know what's good about this? Is it's not my efforts, it's not who I am, it's not my personality. He works through all that. But everything I do, everything I say brings glory to God because he's the one. He's my King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back. Someday I'll stand with him face to face, and I will have to give an account for what I've done. Number 9, the last one, a memorial event. When a covenant was established, they would plant a tree. Abraham planted a tree when he was establishing a covenant with God. Sometimes a pillar in the Old Testament. Sometimes a heap of stones. But let me tell you what our memorial event is. Is the Spirit of God now dwells within us. The Holy Spirit no longer dwells in a house made with hands. But he dwells in our hearts. He dwells on the inside of us, God. The Godhead dwells on the inside of us. Let me read out of Romans 8. You know, sometimes I could hurry along and just keep moving, but sometimes we need to read the Word of God. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. He established a covenant for me before I was born. Before the foundations of the world, He knew me. He knit me in my mother's womb. In Psalms 139, it says, all my days were written in a book before I was born. His thoughts towards me were like the sands of the sea. And He knew me before I was born and set before me life. You see, all of us enter this world and all of us leave this world. But what do we do in between? Sometimes when I do funerals, I talk about the dash. Between the date we're born and the date we pass away. But if I could do it, in fact, maybe I'll do it on my grave. I'd like to have the year in between and the moment that Jesus made Himself real to me and saved me. There should be a cross in that dash. When I was 30 years old, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed my life. People today, I meet them that I went to school with, and they say, what are you doing now? I said, I'm pastoring. You're what? I said, I'm pastoring. You? Yeah. Because they knew me before. See, that old Barry is dead. Dead. Let me end this in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Do you remember when you first heard that word? Maybe you heard it before, but you remember when you were in the church or wherever you were at? I got saved through television. I heard the word of God on TV. And the guy on the TV screen says, you can receive Christ right now. I got down on my knees in my apartment. I was at the end of myself. I tried everything else to fit into my heart that was only designed for God to dwell in. And I realized I need a Savior. In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the person's possession to the praise of His glory. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's that memorial. Memorial. And just this week, I realized more than ever before, in order to accomplish the Great Commission, you have to understand that through that covenant, I become one with Christ. I no longer live for myself. I become one with Him. And through that becoming one, I can fulfill the Great Commission now. Because I understand the power and the authority that I have through that covenant that I have with Jesus Christ. When I was talking to Pastor Ron the other day, I was telling him what I was going to preach on, and we were just sharing. You know, the scripture in Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is a manner of some, especially knowing that the Lord is going to return soon. Sometimes I think we just think that's when we're in this building. There's much more than that. You can be sitting in a coffee shop. You can be sitting at your kitchen table. You can be on the phone with somebody. And you're gathering together in his name because you're talking about things, about him, what he's doing in your life, scripture. And we were talking, I don't know how we got on the subject, but I was talking about the disciples were on the road of Emmaus. And I'm going to close with this. Two disciples on the road of Emmaus, they left Jerusalem after the crucifixion of Christ. They were distraught. Jesus comes along, starts walking with them, starts unveiling scripture and showing them who he really was. But they didn't know it was him. So they said, you know, we'd like you to come in, have dinner with us. And it says, you know, they thought he was planning on going ahead, but I don't think he was. I think this was a setup. You ever been set up by Jesus? You think you're going in one direction, you're going to meet somebody, and all of a sudden, God changes direction and your eyes pop open. What happened was he invited them in, and it says, as he broke bread, this is what it says, Jesus recognized them when he broke the bread. On that Good Friday when I prayed for people and I was watching what was taking place, I recognized that they recognized Jesus when I broke the bread. What did they recognize? The precious covenant that Jesus established for us. This is good news. Good news. And when you understand the covenant, nothing can stand against you. Because in the covenant's like a bank account. When we take communion today, there isn't anything that you need that isn't in his body and his blood. I'll say that again. There isn't anything you need. Jesus had established a Holy Ghost spiritual bank account for you if you're in covenant with him. And anything you need, you can receive when you take communion. Smith Wigglesworth, how many of you have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? I don't know this for a fact. One of my mentors was Dr. Lester Sumrall. He's went on to be with the Lord. But I believe when I was in a meeting with him, he said that Smith Wigglesworth got up every morning and took communion. And years ago when I was a young man, I thought, why would you get up every morning and take communion? But now I realize that every morning if Smith did get up, I think his wife called him Smitty, Smith, when he got up every morning, he took communion to remind himself of what Jesus did for him. You talk about aligning yourself for the day. That's incredible. Lord, we just thank you right now for the covenant you've established with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, many times when we're preparing to take communion, there's so many things going on in our lives. But when we get a revelation of what communion is, all these things, Lord, can be dissipated. If we're sick in our body, we can receive healing. If we're having issues in our families with relationships, God, restoration comes when we take communion. There's power in the body and the blood of Christ. So as we prepare, I know that Pastor Ron, he might do this a little different, but I'm just going to ask right now, before we even pass out the elements, that you just check your heart. Are you eating from two different tables? Are you eating from a table of the devils and at the Lord's table? You say the table of the devils? Well, have you been viewing things? Have you been embracing things that's contrary to the kingdom of God? Just because people enter into church doesn't mean that their lives are in order. They're here. Even in the Corinthian church, Paul knew that there was a lot of strife. There was a lot of division. There was idolatry. And he was saying, you can't eat from the devil's table and eat from the Lord's table. We need to examine ourselves and find out if our hearts are pure before you. Because one thing we don't want for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't want illness and sickness and even leads to death. So Lord, we pause right now. Maybe there's someone that we need to forgive. Maybe there's an issue going on that we're just distraught and we're in unbelief. We can't even trust you, Lord. So we just pause right now in your presence. Speak to us individually. You said, your sheep hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. Lord, when you walked the earth, you understood relationship. We live in such a digital age that when things get quiet, we feel like we have to turn something on. We have to do something. But this morning, we just want to be who you've created us to be. The Word of God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. Thank you for this table of blessing today, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. From what I understand, you come up for communion. If you just come up at this time and get your elements, and then we'll pray together. Jesus, on the same night you were betrayed, you took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Lord, as we hold this bread in our hands, we thank you for wholeness, soundness, deliverance. I pray for my brothers and sisters sitting before me. God, do a miracle in their life. We're trusting you right now for healing, for deliverance, whatever they need. Thank you for your manifested presence over their life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you may partake. Lord, we hold this cup in our hands, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, you said, is there not another way? Can you let this cup pass from me? I believe that Jesus won the victory in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had determined in his heart to do what the Father said. And he shed his blood for us. This cup is a new testament in my blood. This is a new covenant, God. And this blood seals that covenant, backs it up. So as we partake of this juice right now, we thank you for forgiveness of sins and the power of the covenant in our lives. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and partake. Let me just pray for you. I know that we're going to be gathering up front for a time of prayer after service today. And I would just encourage you to open your hearts. Just have your brothers and sisters pray with you. There's something about community that has great power. So, Father, we just thank you for the service today. We again thank you for the gathering together. Thank you for everything that's been done today, every song, every word that's been spoken. But we thank you most for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.